Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast
with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, welcome to Saints Happy Hour Podcast. As always, we are sponsored by you, the fan. Hey, we got the Aaron Brooks Drunk History episode up and going. Like 1,200 people have already listened to it. It's phenomenal. It is drunk. It is horrible. It is out of control.
Who did you do that one with?
I did that one with our friend Ian, who goes on and off Twitter with the protected tweets. I think he's in one of his phases where he's off Twitter, so you can click on his Twitter link. I think it's gone. But Ian is our guy, and we love him. And he was great. And me and I asked him for 30 minutes. We went for like an hour 20 on Aaron Brooks. So
I'm going to listen to that tomorrow.
Yeah.
Tomorrow
night. I did a fantastic job salvaging that audio, by the way. Props to me for making it average. So we got that. So you can find us on the Twitter, the YouTube, the Facebook. Just search Saints Happy Hour Podcast. And donate if you can, because we got to keep the lights on. We have breaking news. Saints breaking news today, kind of, Andrew. Give us an update on a former Saint, Brandon Browner. He got into a little bit of trouble.
Yeah, so this was a little weird. but he was arrested in what looks like a cop evading thing. I mean, it seems like there was a high-speed chase. And let me read you this exactly. So he was arrested following a police chase.
Where?
Where he was wanted for kidnapping, false imprisonment, burglary, grand theft auto, and violation of a restraining order. So
I hope that was that in the South?
It says Azusa County, in the Azusa area.
What state?
Let me check.
Because if that's in the South, they're gonna put him under the jail. If it's out west,
in California. It's
ooh,
in LA.
He might be all right. California. But the good news is, in California, there's a good chance, because of their love of high speed chases, there's a good chance, Dave, that we'll actually eventually get video of that.
Yeah, there's got to be. I mean, most police cars now, I would say, have at least dash cams. We might not get the classic helicopter aerial footage, but hopefully we'll be able to get some dash cam footage.
Do you think he'll drop the "Do you know who I am"?
You know who I am? I'm Brandon Browner, damn it! Most penalties in a single season!
If he said that to a cop in New Orleans, he'd be like, "Oh, you're Brandon Browner? We're making up 5 more charges."
You should have kept that information to yourself.
I'm tasing you. I'm going to tase you on general principle, and nothing's going to happen to me. They're probably going to give me a medal. It's wrong of us to think that way about Brandon Browner, but he was pretty terrible. Do you think Brandon Browner was more hated than Jason David?
I hate him more than Jason David.
Absolutely.
I mean, because Jason David, I mean, we talk about Jason David all the time.
Jason David off the field was irreproachable.
Right. He was a good guy. He talked to the media. He admitted his faults and accepted them and, you know, was always positive and trying to get better and trying to move on and would not shy away from the media. And Brandon Browner started fights in the locker room.
Who was it? Was it Christian Garrick or was it Larry Holder that he tried to fight?
No, it was Lyle McKelvin, right?
Lions Yellen. Yeah.
Yeah, Lions Yellen, former WWL guy. Yeah. Oh boy, Lions. Yeah. Lions.
That was fantastic. I mean,
I could just see it in the locker room. Like Brandon Braddock just wanting to kill Lions.
What is that sound bite from?
That's from Smokey and the Bandit. It's just no, that's that. For me. It's not for, like there's like four people in the audience that probably know it. It's just it's for me. Because I run this. I run the soundboard. I take suggestions, but I'm the one that's got to cut up the sound. So I did that one. So look, we're 17 days out from Saints training camp. That actually, the Brandon
so
Browner.
So close. Want to touch the hiney.
So that was actually good Saints news that didn't involve off-season news that was terrible to Brandon Browner, but it was kind of not really Saints.
Brandon Browner isn't on the Saints, so that has nothing to do with the Saints.
Wait,
Saints.
Hold on. Speaking of Billy Madison, how old does my son have to be before I can show him that movie? We were just talking about this today.
The edited version, he's probably okay. Your son's like, what, 8?
Yeah.
Like an edited version, I guess that would like a made for TV. I guess that would be okay, but the regular version, probably not.
Well, I'm not going to show him the edited version. I mean, he's got to watch the real thing. So, how long do I have to wait? What do you think?
I don't know. 11?
10?
11?
11? Okay.
I saw Godfather part one when I was like 9. I was like, titties! My mom at the time, I don't think she remembered that the Godfather had the part where like he marries the Italian bride and they show her tits, and she was like, "Oh my God, she's horrified." It was great. when you're nine, and it's too like it's, at that point, you know, it's like it's too late, right? My mom was just like, "Oh, damn it!" But like the violence and everything in the Godfather was fine, but the tits was just over the line for Anne. She couldn't deal with that. So we said the Saints are 17 days out. So we're doing like previewing every position, and we started this too late. So we got to cram it in because we only got 3 weeks left, and we haven't even touched the defense. So we got to cram it all in. Last week we did receivers. The week before that we did offensive line. This week we're doing quarterbacks and running backs. So we'll start with quarterbacks. Dave, I don't really care. Like Drew Brees,
I heard that Drew Brees guy is pretty good.
Drew Brees is pretty good, but like all I give a shit about is Taysom Hill. Like the hype is like incredible. So what has to happen for Drew Brees? Like he's not even gonna play the first 2 weeks, right, guys? Is that did he even play the first 2 weeks last year?
Yeah, I think he might have done like one series.
Yeah, I think he missed the first game entirely.
And then did like one series in the second game or something like that.
Yeah.
So like, I mean, besides the goofy quarterback challenge, I mean, we're not going to get any like Breeze news is going to be bad, right? During training camp, probably. So like, but the Taysom Hill, you know, the Taysom Hill hype train is fucking real. It is spectacular. But Dave, what has to happen for the Taysom Hill hype train to get out of control and reach like break the sound barrier, even though it's a train and it's not in the air?
I mean, obviously he's got to put together a good game whenever he gets the opportunity to play. He'll probably play. Yeah, he might get some time in the first game, if not by the first game, in the second game for sure. But
does he even need a good game, or does he just need a good play?
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
is one highlight reel play enough?
I think he just needs 4 good tweets from Underhill during the first practice, and he's good to go.
He could have a bad game by the eye test, but then 48 hours later, Underhill tweets like that based on the film, you know, that he did something right, or that it was someone else's fault that the play was bad, and that might be all we need.
If he does something like where he like runs with the ball, you know, he tucks it and runs, No, well, yeah, whatever. But like some defender, he's in the open field and he just trucks some defender and bowls over them and keeps running. If there was like one play like that, that would probably get the hype. You know,
well,
the
that
hype
gif, that GIF would live forever, Dave, because you would make it a GIF and it would just be like.
Yeah, and that's the kind of stuff that would like ESPN would show, that, you know, that would make like a top 10 on ESPN. So then like the rest of the country would then get on the Taysom Hill hype train too.
But he's going to, like, I would think he's going to maybe start the first preseason game, right, Andrew? They're not going to go with Savage. They're going to throw Hill into the fire, right? The first game, because Breeze probably isn't going to play, right? So it's going to be Taysom Hill for a half. We get that?
It's his job to lose, yeah.
So, I mean, I think we're going to
really. You think Taysom Hill is penciled in as the number two guy?
I think Sean Payton wants this to be true so bad.
Yes, right. They want it to be.
You go back to kind of the comments that were made, and he says now that they're blown out of context. But I think it was more just about he didn't want it getting back to Hill, that he was putting all this anointing water on him without actually earning stuff.
Yeah.
You know, but yes, I think Sean Payton is salivating at the possibility of having a quarterback that runs like Michael Vick and throws like Randall Cunningham under center. I think the possibilities are just too exciting for him. He can't even contain his excitement.
So I would say Taysom Hill, he's going to get in the first two preseason games. I bet you he gets at least three quarters of work. And that's like the low end.
In the
like,
first game?
No, in the first two games combined. Like oh, I could definitely. I could see him playing a quarter and a half in those two games. Whether it's say the first half in the first game and the third quarter in the second game, he's going to get a ton. Like they don't want Phil fucking Savage to be the quarterback. They don't. Or is his name Phil Savage or Andrew Savage or whatever the fuck is Savage? He's terrible. He played for the Texans.
You're way off, Ralph.
They want a guy. I think if you're talking about in the regular season, if Breeze really went down, I think we need to be realistic here. Tom Savage obviously has some
Tom Savage. I fooled people and it wasn't him.
Has some real game experience. So, you know, as much as people might love Taysom Hill, even as much as Sean Payton might love Taysom Hill, I mean, I think the safe play is to go with Tom Savage. I mean, obviously, you're fucked either way. If Drew Brees is gone, neither of those two guys is anything to write home about. But I think, you know, Taysom Hill is still a raw work in progress. Let's keep that in mind.
I would say this, Andrew. If the awfulness happens and Drew Brees gets hurt, one, you can't root for him to lose. You can't root for them to lose because the draft pick is gone, right?
Right.
I think they go Taysom Hill because Taysom Hill, at least if the shit just totally falls apart, he can just run. And at least that's entertaining and gives your offense a chance. I think if the doomsday scenario happens, I think it's Taysom Hill all the way, and that's the way they're going to go.
I think it's important. This is the right moment in this podcast to point out that yes, for you Saints fans out there that are JT Barrett obsessed,
there is a reason why
we have not brought him up yet, and that's because he isn't going to be any good.
I don't know. I saw a minicamp pass. Looked pretty good. Oh, I totally forgot he existed, Andrew, until you brought his name up.
There is a non-zero percentage of Saints fans that are convinced that Taysom Hill will not only make the team, but that he's going to be the backup quarterback to Breeze and actually have a good NFL career.
Will he even be on the practice squad, Dave?
That would mean he would have to beat somebody out because they're not going to carry four guys. I mean,
well, the practice squad, right? They could cut him and they could just keep him there.
Probably not. I doubt it.
So here's the thing that I was thinking about before we get on to running backs is Drew Brees is scheduled to break the all-time passing mark for yards for the NFL, and it's going to happen like the Washington game, which is like week six, which is like either right before or right after the bye. And Andrew, I was thinking of it today, and like, it's not that big of a deal, and I get that it might not be that big of a deal nationally because NFL records aren't the same as baseball records or other sports or whatever, but I feel like in New Orleans...
They made a big deal out of Peyton Manning doing it.
Like, a fucking...
Yeah, didn't they stop the game?
Yeah, they did. Yeah. And a fucking Saints player is going to break one of the hollowed NFL records, and I feel like it's not that huge of a deal. Maybe it'll become as we get into the year, but I feel like it's just like oh yeah, he's gonna break the record Monday night against the Skins, and we'll go about our business. Like it doesn't feel like a huge deal. And to me, I thought about it today. I was like, oh my god, a Saints player is gonna own like one of the like the gold standard records in the NFL.
Well, you said it right. You said it right there. He plays for the Saints.
But it should be a bigger deal.
I think the league is immediately less interested because it's the Saints and it's Drew Brees.
The league, I feel like Saints fans should be like super fucking excited about it, and we're really not. Or maybe it's just because it's July. I just, you know.
No, I think the hype each week it will build. So I just think, you know, football is out of sight, out of mind right now. But when that first week comes, and you know, I think if the Saints are winning, especially, you know, if they're doing really well, and you know, it's one of those things where the fan excitement in general is off the charts because they're playing well, then I just think it'll add fuel to the fire. And you know, even if they're awful, I mean, I remember they were 0-4, I believe, against the Chargers when he broke the touchdown, the consecutive touchdown record. And I remember that was a big deal. I mean, he stood at midfield and, you know, he had a standing ovation, and ESPN made a big deal because it was on prime time and Sean Payton was back in one of the club levels. This was during his suspension year watching the game. So I just have a feeling that the excitement will build. If the Saints are winning, it's going to be a primetime game, so it'll make it even more significant nationally. We'll get into it. And it is going to be a big deal and a big thing, I think.
Dave, they project him to break the record, like I said, against Washington. But that record has him at like averaging, I think, like 280 yards a game. So like,
yeah, it'll be before that probably.
I mean, if they have a game where the Saints are behind or something, that could be. it could be soon, like sooner. So like, if I was gonna pick, you can't beat the Tampa game, obviously. But if you were a Saints fan and you were gonna pick a whole, like, do you think it could happen? The Giants game, as you look at the Saints schedule, like, how much sooner could it happen before the Redskins game?
Well, I actually think it could happen. I think it has a stronger chance of happening later and not sooner. You know, just because you look at last year and
yeah.
How much Brees was throwing and how many yards. I mean, he didn't have as many yards. And I think that trend's going to continue. I think they'll try to run the football more, although you don't have Ingram for the first four games. So that's another consideration. But I would say, you know, they're on the road against the Ravens after the bye. And then they're on the road in Minnesota, but I could see maybe the Ravens or Minnesota being the game instead of the Redskins, because 280 yards a game is a lot. You know, and I mean, I just think when you look at the Bucks and the Browns and the Giants, I mean, those are three of their Saints' first four games. He may not have to throw, but for like 220 yards in each of those games to get a win.
Oh, yeah. Could it be the Rams at home? Dave, November? Could that be the spot?
That feels a little too long.
Yeah, I think it's going to be earlier than that.
Unless he gets hurt or something.
Ugh, fuck, don't even
misses a game.
But I guess my final question is, we get to quarterbacks, like, because, you know, we joke about the arm shooter and we joke about decline, but really, there was no, to my way of looking at it, there was no decline in Brees. And the throw he made in the playoff game against Carolina, where he scrambled and hit Michael Thomas for like a 50-yard gain, like, it was ridiculous that a 38-year-old dude can do that. But I guess, Dave, what's your expectations sort of stat-wise to Brees? Do you think he'll be a little better than last year, a little worse? And not necessarily that he'll play worse, but that, like Andrew says, like, maybe he's going to, like, it's even going to be less yards. Like, what's your expectation for him sort of stat-wise and sort of like in the fantasy mold, if that makes sense?
I mean, I think it's going to be pretty close to what we saw last year. I don't think it's going to be I don't think it's going to be any better. I mean, what did he throw for last year? Did he get to 4,500?
He gets 4,300 yards, yeah. But only 23 touchdowns, which...
Yeah, I mean, I think he'll be... Low. I mean, I think he'll be good for at least 4,000 yards, but probably not much over that. I think the 5,000-yard days are over, both just because of his age and also because the Saints seem to be improving and you know, balancing their offense a little more.
I mean, he was averaging just under 271 a game last year, which is by far the lowest he's ever averaged with the Saints, by far.
Right. I see that trend continuing. But every now and then, but you know, there are those random games where that get thrown in there where he's got to win the game for the team. You know, they get behind early, or whatnot.
Redskin game last
year. He's throwing more so than he normally does. So he averages 270, but that's because, you know, one game the Saints might be playing well or be playing an inferior opponent and they're able to run the ball more and Breeze only needs to throw for 210 yards. But the other week he's thrown for 420, for two touchdowns and a field goal in the fourth quarter.
Not having Mark Ingram is a thing to watch, though.
Yeah, here's a question, Andrew. Is Drew Brees, is he kind of, because if you look at his stats, and look, he was phenomenal last year. He had a rating of 103.9, and he was awesome in the playoff game. He was phenomenal.
Yeah, I think his interception percentage was the lowest of his career.
Yeah, but 23 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, 4,300 yards. Is he sort of going to be in 2018, even if he's still great and Drew Brees, he's a great on-field quarterback, but as far as like the ridiculous fantasy numbers, like, that's not going to be anymore. It's just going to be, he's going to be a really great on-field quarterback, but like as like a fantasy juggernaut, not so much, because he's going to throw for 4,200 yards, 25 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, and that's nice for fantasy, but not great. Is that kind of where we're going to be with him in 2018, you think?
I don't know. The only X factor, I mean, I keep going back to Ingram being out, but the only X factor is how good are Cam Meredith and Tre'Quan Smith going to be? Because we know Ted Ginn and Michael Thomas are good receivers, but if they can get anything out of those young guys, you know, if Tre'Quan can come in as a rookie and make an impact, and if Cam Meredith can come back from his injury, you know, Kamara is as much of a receiver as he is a running back, and he's going to get more snaps than usual, I think, through the first 4 weeks. So I could see the Saints offensively being a little bit more aerial. You know, they upgraded at tight end too. I mean, at least for the early part of the season, Watson is going to be playing pretty well and healthy. So I just feel like they're set up to maybe surprise us and throw the rock a little bit more, especially early until Ingram comes back.
Dave, do you think that Andrew's correct and that we might see some monster Drew Brees games early in the year?
Maybe one.
All right, so now this is the interesting thing.
So when you say that, Dave, you just think it's going to be more of like the efficient,
maybe one of those offense games
with more running.
Yeah, but maybe one of those games, you know, he's got to air it out.
So which running back besides Kamara is getting the bulk of the carries in those weeks?
That's a great tease and a lead into our to going to running back.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't pull the roster up on my computer.
The running back situation is Kamara, Boston Scott, Jonathan Williams, Trey Edwards, Terrence West, Daniel Lasco, Ingram, who's out for the first 4 weeks.
Yeah. I mean, so I got to like, say, that lineup does not instill confidence in me.
No.
I will say that.
No, it doesn't. I think part of the reason they just signed Terrence West is because, you know, they had a couple mini camps and, you know, they were like, holy shit. These guys might not be able to cut it, but I think, you know, West, I think it is important to say that West, I mean, he was a starter for the Ravens. He's still pretty young and he beat out, I mean, they worked out DeMarco Murray, I believe, Jamal Charles, Tim Hightower. So there are a lot of big names in there and he beat them all out for the job. So
everybody, that's true except for DeMarco Murray, because DeMarco Murray refused. He's okay. Like, I'm not going to your cattle call. Call me in August when you have an injury.
Gotcha. So yeah, that's fine. But yeah, I think he stood out West as the best of all the guys they worked out, and there were a lot of names in there. So that means something. I really like Trey Edmonds and what he showed in preseason last year. And, you know, it was in garbage time against the Bills team that had quit, but he had a couple big runs against the Bills too. So I think West and Edmonds are kind of the leading candidates most likely to play, I would say, more so than Boston Scott and Lasko.
Boston Scott, man, he's tiny and he runs fast and he's from Louisiana, Andrew.
Well, he'll make the fourth quarter of preseason games fun. So at least he's got that going for him. You know, Jonathan Williams is a guy they like a lot. He's kind of a wild card. I don't know much about him. Haven't seen him yet. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think it's going to be Terrence West, and I don't think it's going to be that great.
Dave, it's the end of your fantasy draft, and you're just groping around in the dark. And I tell you, you got to pick one
of these
like
Saints. Sounds like sex with my wife.
Yeah. My wife. My wife.
So you're groping around in the dark, and you got to pick one of these Saints poo-poo platter running backs for your like your final slot on your fantasy team. Like, who are you going with?
Poo-poo platter. Wait, oh, I got to pick one?
You got to pick one of them.
You know, look, Andrew makes, I think, I'll let Andrew say Terrence West, and he makes a good argument for that case. You know, me, I think it's going to be, I think one of these young guys is going to be, you know, the Saints always have been, seem to have been able to find some rookie or undrafted guy. Yeah, get the hype train going. Get the
That's
hype
the train, baby. That's what Boston Scott. That's the hype train.
Yeah, it's gonna be. I'm all it's about gonna be Boston somebody. Scott. It's gonna be somebody like that that nobody really expected. That's and that's just
good
surprises
point.
The hell out of everybody. So,
but know, will it be more like Traverse Cadet? Nah, or will it be more like Chris Ivory? Holy shit, this guy's amazing.
Maybe Kyrie Robinson, something like that. You know, any one of well, not Traverse Cadet. I'd rather. I'm thinking more in line of. Pierre Thomas, not as amazing as Pierre Thomas.
Kyrie would be nice.
Yeah, Kyrie or Chris Ivory, something like that.
Yeah, I think it's going to be – I just think about Boston Scott. I just think –
That's got Traverse Cadet written all over it.
Traverse Cadet, man, he carved out a little career for himself. I mean, Saints fans hated him, but, I mean, you know.
I always kind of liked him.
For being an undrafted guy, I mean, there are some people that I follow on Twitter that just loathe the poor man. But I'm going to say Boston Scott's going to be the guy. Like, I think he's going to have a fun preseason. I think he's going to get the first crack at it. But Andrew, I wouldn't be surprised if not only is the Mark Ingram replacement guy not on the roster, I wouldn't be surprised like if the Saints make a move like after a week if it goes really badly.
That's when they signed DeMarco?
Yeah, like if they would like stink versus Tampa, they'd be like, all right, DeMarco, fine. We'll give you what you want. Like, because that guy's just like waiting, or he's waiting for an injury, you know?
Yeah.
So I still think it's at least 50-50 that the dude at running back, he isn't on the roster yet. But I mean, how do we fit? I guess overall, you know, because we're talking about Dave, we're talking about, you know, who's going to fill for Mark Ingram for a month. But it's only a month, you know, and even if it's a total disaster, Breeze could throw his way through it, and they could still be like 3-1. So it's not like a crisis. But I guess my question to you is like, what's your expectation of this running game that was just unbelievable last year? Is it going to repeat? Is it going to be better? Is it going to be worse? Like, what's your feeling going in? Because your boyfriend was just lights out last year.
Yeah. You want my honest opinion? I don't think it's going to be nearly as good. I hate to say it. I think last year was pretty special. I thought last year was a combination of a lot of, you know, good things that all came together. And chemistry And, you know, it's just hard to duplicate that year in and year out.
Yeah, that's nice. I think there's one thing we're kind of ignoring here, which is that the Saints will be having in their backfield the reigning rookie of the year, Alvin Kamara, and he's going to hold it down just fine.
I'm also concerned about injury.
Yeah.
You know, obviously we can't plan on that, and I'm not talking about anything major. I'm not talking about, you know, Ingram or Kamara blowing out their ACL. You know, I'm just talking about little nagging.
What's wrong
things
with you? Here. Don't even put that out there. God.
I'm
here's Jesus. Here's my question to you, Andrew, as far as not will it be better or will it be worse, but here's the thing. Let's say the Saints, they're like, they're thinking Boston Scott, he's had a good preseason. They're like, okay, he's the guy. And he gets into that Tampa game, and he fumbles or whatever. You know, like, he's basically, it's a fumble, right? And Sean Payton could be like, I'm fucking done with you. And if they decide, you know what? We're just going to ride Kamara for a month. Would you be okay with that? Like, if they're like, you know what? We usually give, like, Kamara, like, 15 to 22 touches for a month. We're giving him 28. Would you be all right with that?
Not really. I just think at that stage of the season, you can afford to lose a game.
Yeah.
But you can't afford to lose Kamara for the stretch run. So no, I'm not okay with it.
You're not going to do even though it would be tempting, because that's the thing that I think could happen, right? Like,
well, it'll definitely be tempting, and I think it'll be up to Sean Payton and the Saints to be smart and not run their most important asset into the ground, because they need him when it's going to matter more.
What's your... Well, Dave, you already said you don't think it'll necessarily be as good. So you just think Kamara is going to be hurt. He's going to be whatever. It's just not going. It's just not quite going to be as good.
Yes.
Yeah, that's dark.
Sorry, man.
The darkest time.
Sorry, that's just how I feel.
I think one of them is going to maintain or excel, or be better than last year, and one of them is going to regress. I don't think they're both going to get worse or both going to be better. It's going to be like, I could see Kamara being just otherworldly good and the Saints decide to ride him for a month, Andrew, and his stats are just fucking unreal, right? Or I could, and I could see Ingram coming back and he gets nicked and he's, you know, he's never quite the guy, you know, and he ends up getting like 700 yards and he's just like never quite. It's never quite the same, you know. And to be fair, like, Ingram has a history of getting nicked, so it's not like saying that he's going to get nicked is not some like crazy theory.
It's impossible to play that position and not get nicked.
Yeah, like that Ingram could have another good year and get a third decent contract is kind of ridiculous, you know. In this day and age for the NFL. So that's our preview for running backs and quarterback. I asked people for questions, and I said ridiculous gets moves to the front of the line, and people didn't disappoint. This is from Eric, Dave. If the Falcons win the Super Bowl and get the jeweler that Drew Brees is suing to make their rings, does that make up for 28-3? They could get it in blue.
This is an A-plus question. I was starting to get annoyed because, like, if the Falcons win the Super Bowl, like, that's just, like, we get that question every week, and it's so dumb, like, hypothetical. But bringing in the whole jewelers thing, it's very topical. That was a nice touch.
Like, if it's blue diamonds and it has, like, the score of the Saints games in the ring, oh, that's A-plus troll, Dave.
Yeah, I'd have to give it to them on that one. That makes up for that weird poster that they came out with a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, that poster was weird. And hopefully Julio gets mad at them and holds out, but we'll see. This is another question from Reed, and I thought of it, Andrew, and it's a great question, but we have to, like, break it down. Who on the Saints roster can eat the most pizza? But here's the question. Are we talking, like, regular pizza? Are we talking deep dish? Are we talking thin? Are we talking supreme? Are we talking
what is
cheese?
It? I mean, that, how would that matter? I mean, just
well, no, it matters a lot, man. The difference between like a thin crust or like a Chicago deep dish. I mean, that's.
Yeah, but either way, the guy that's going to eat the most is going to eat the most, right?
Right, exactly. You're
It's not like Kamara's really good at eating deep dish, but he's really bad at eating thin crust.
Maybe.
Well, no, not even that. Yeah. But I mean, like, if Kamara is eating against Ingram, they're both eating the same thing. So they're both eating deep dish, or they're both eating thin crust. Or
so who would it be? Who would it be?
Well, it's too bad. I mean, it's too bad that you can't go all-time roster, because then it's clearly a three-man race between Norman Hand, Grady Jackson, and Hollis Thomas. I mean,
what
those
about Sullivan? Sullivan hit buffets during games.
Oh yeah, Jonathan Sullivan's a good one. Yeah.
Grady Jackson. I mean,
who's the biggest guy on the team?
I mean, right? Norman Hand's never seen a chicken wing he didn't like.
Rip, rest in peace.
Yeah, R.I.P.
Even a cross-faced chicken wing. There you go. See, I hope Kevin's listening. He'd be so proud of me. I just made a wrestling joke.
Nice.
I think.
I mean, I would think. I don't know.
Who's looking at the roster right now?
It's like Onyemata might be the biggest, but like, I don't know. Onyemata, he just seems like he'd be disciplined to me. You know, didn't he grow up in Africa? I just feel like. He's probably more disciplined. I would say
Warford. I think
Tyler. I would put my money
choice.
On Tyler Davison.
Wait, I know who. Anzalone, because he's Italian.
Oh, that's a good one.
He probably does love pizza. Yeah.
Would he? You know what? You're probably right, Dave. Like, he would put the hairnet on his hair, and he would just be like in there and just kill it.
I think.
Who so man? Maybe.
Oh yeah.
He looks like he could put down some pizza.
You know, I think Kamara can be sneaky, because I think he works really hard in the offseason. But I think he could wreck some bad food.
That's the thing. The guy Joey Chestnut, the guy that wins the hot dog competitions, he's not fat. None of those hot dog eating competition guys are fat.
Here's a question. We didn't quite answer it when we talked about the Taysom Hill hype. This is from Chris. Taysom Hill hype train, is it unstoppable? If not,
play the train noise. Play the train noise.
Oh yeah, what, Andrew? What can kill and wreck the Taysom Hill hype train?
Reality.
Real.
I mean, but like specifically, like football wise, like if you were going to give me specifics, what would you say it would be?
My guess would be just like. That he's, you know, very Aaron Brooksy. In other words, just like low IQ, too much like backyard football playing, and he makes a couple exciting plays, but you know, we quickly realize it's like, great, we have a Johnny Manziel on our hands.
Yeah, like I would say that would be like if it's all schoolyard, like. I'm going to run around and chuck for a bomb or run for like a 50-yard touchdown. It's like in the moment, it'll be fun. It will be like the Taysom Hill hype train is unstoppable. But in the back of your mind, you'll be like, that's not how Sean Payton wants
it. I mean,
it to
the
be.
Thing is, like, quarterbacks like that typically will have some really exciting plays until they get blown up by a huge hit. And that's the thing about Breeze, and you talk about his longevity, is the ball is out constantly. He's not taking a lot of hits, and he's so that's what I would want to see out of Taysom Hill. I mean, obviously, I'll get excited about the big plays, but what I want to see is, can the ball come out quickly? Is he making quick reads and just getting the ball out? Because if he's doing that, then he can actually sustain a career.
And the thing is, there's a reason why he was playing special teams for the Saints last year, because the dude got hurt all the time at BYU. This is sure. from Alfredo. This is a World Cup question, so I'll take it. He says, is football coming home? That's England's, like, slogan for their World Cup. Like, they invented soccer, like, they're going to win the World Cup, and they're going to bring the trophy home. I have to say, England...
Has England ever won a World Cup?
In 66.
One time?
Like England is... I don't want to say they're like the Reds. They're like a tormented fan base, and they have this like feeling of dread that it's always going to go wrong. So I root for them. That's like I root for them. They're like my fun team, you know. Since the United
but at
States
this point, at this point, even if they don't win, I mean this was a terrific run for them. I mean it's as good as they've been in a long time.
And
right?
The funny thing is that they have been terrible at penalty shootouts. Like they have like the worst record of any major teams. Like they've been like before they won the other day, they had lost like five in a row, and their coach is like one of the guys who like choked in the 90s in the PK, and he like was like, I'm going to make it to where we're not going to choke, and we're going to make it like it's not just luck, it's a process you have to go through. And he like set it out like Bill Belichick, where he like mapped out every little thing you do in the PK, from like how many steps you take, who gets the ball, and it was really interesting. And he dresses like a Bond villain, so I'm all in for England. So Dave, this is from Bijon. I think I butchered his name again. Quick roulette question.
Bijon Frise.
Bijon. You can give one of these players 100% health for 2018. Armstead, Anzalone, Cam Meredith, Lattimore. You can pick one for 100% health.
Well, it's got to be Lattimore or Armstead.
No, it doesn't.
You would pick Anzalone?
No, there was somebody else. Yeah, Meredith. I would take Cam Meredith, I think.
What?
It would be great to always have, assuming Mike Thomas stays fairly healthy the whole season, it'd be great to have two good quality receivers. I think the Saints need that more than they need Armstead. They've proven over the last 2 years that they can rotate out and...
That's a ridiculous answer.
Make do without Armstead.
That is ridiculous. I mean, No. You take 16 games of Teron Armstead. If you're guaranteeing me right now that I'm going to have elite, healthy left tackle play for a full season, I mean, I'd take that over Lattimore. Because
really?
Lattimore's still young and he might get nicked up, but I'm confident that, you know, hopefully it won't be too serious and, you know, he'll have a good career and he'll bounce back. But like Armstead, at this point, the assumption is we're lucky to get 8 games from him. So if you're promising me a 16-game season of health at left tackle from that guy, because I know how good he is when he's right, to me it's a no-brainer. It's Armstead.
Well, yeah, the more I think
and
about it.
And Dave makes a good point. Like he's right. And the Saints have done a good job over the years of mitigating the fact that he hasn't been there. But I just think at the end of the day, I know how freaking ridiculously good he is.
And I think we
almost forget, right? Like we almost don't think Armstead is as good as he really is just because he's never available or only half available. And when he is playing, he's banged up and he hasn't been as good as he can be. But man, if the stars were to kind of align like they did for Zach Streif in the twilight of his career, you know, the season before last where he was healthy for a full year and just played the best year of his career. If Armstead could get something like that where his body's finally right, man, I just think this offensive line would finally have some stability and be as awesome as we think they can be.
We've got
a couple more years left of Breeze, and he's close to surpassing quite a few of the all-time NFL passing records if he plays for another couple of years.
And that's why you want Armstead, because you keep him healthy. If you get a year out of Armstead.
We've already seen that they can be okay without Armstead.
Am I changing your mind, Dave, a little here?
No. What no. I'm saying is that's just why I want Cam Meredith. We got a couple more years with Breeze. I want to see him go out with a bang. I want us to give him as much help and as much support as possible. And yes, having Armstead healthy the entire season would certainly help in that department. But again, we already know that the offensive line can move and shake and
Calumetti
change things
anymore
around and do a decent enough job. But if Drew Brees doesn't
you want
have
more playmakers.
I'll have some fun, baby. Come on. Let's go.
And you want to stick it to Ryan Pace too. You want Meredith to drop like 1,300 yards so you can stick
it
to
Pace. I forgot
Pace.
About that part of it. Yeah.
I just thought about that, Andrew. I'm with Dave. I want to stick it to Pace. I'm with Dave.
And I mean, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but I mean, the Saints actually, hopefully, they should this year have a little bit more depth at cornerback than they probably ever had ever. So, you know, Lattimore missed.
Cam Meredith having an amazing season is like Ryan Pace firing material.
I mean, really I mean, think about it. If Cam Meredith plays 16 games, you know, you're talking about 2,000-yard receivers, you know, potentially. You're talking about Mike Thomas and Cam Meredith both being 2,000-yard receivers. You know, plus, obviously, Kamara catching balls out of the backfield, even Ingram possibly catching balls out of the outfield. Watson's back. He's got a great chemistry with Drew. You know, it could, if Cam Meredith, he's the keystone to the archway of wide receivers, in my opinion. And if he falls into the right place where he's supposed to fall into, I think the whole offense changes if they have that ability.
Dave, what percentage of the roster makes Ben Watson and Drew Brees' Bible study?
Let's see. You got 55-man roster plus what, 8-man practice squad. So you got 63, 61. I would say like 15 guys, because I think there's a bunch of guys that might, they're maybe they go to church every week, but they're not super religious. But they're like, you know what? It's Drew Brees, and I'm gonna go and like show him a face because I want to catch more passes. I want to be in good with Drew, so I'm gonna go. I think you got like 12 guys.
I like it.
All right. This is from Guillaume. Who would you start? Where would you start Pickford within the Saints lineup? Pickford, of course, is the Jordan Pickford is the England goaltender. He is Everton's goaltender, which is my EPL team. So I watched him. So I knew he was good. Guillaume, he starts at corner because that dude is a salty motherfucker. He will fight opponents, his own team. Ushers, officials, like, that dude is salty. Like, they played Panama, and they were up 6-0. They gave up a goal because Keir for England fucked up. Jordan Pickford chewed his fucking ass for, like, a good 30 seconds, and it was 6-1 because the dude wanted his... What do they call it, Andrew? What do they call it? Like, he wanted his clean sheet. So, like, he's a corner, dude, because he's constantly, like,
well,
his
would
mouth.
You want him to be a coverage linebacker so that we don't get roasted by a tight end for a change?
Oh, yeah, that's true. But, yeah. I mean, but I think his personality is more corner, though, because he just the linebackers talk, too, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Dave, this is a good one from James. How would you feel if week one Muhammad is starting instead of Marcus Davenport?
I mean, at that moment, I'm going to just say if he's, you know, we want the best players on the field. And if he happens to be better than Marcus Davenport, then great. Then that's who should be on the field. But obviously, something is wrong because Davenport is a first-round pick. He's, you know, of all the draft picks, he's supposed to be the one that's going to be supposed to be coming in and contributing immediately. So
I would
be very disappointed because obviously something has gone wrong. But at the same time, like, you know, we got to move on here and put the best players on the field.
Andrew, I don't know. He might not. I think there's a good potential that he's not starting. That he's like just beginning of the year. He's just like third down rush guy. I mean, that's not crazy, right?
Not at all. In fact, I kind of expect that.
No.
I think if Muhammad's starting, the problem you have is that means Okafor is...
No, I mean, I think Okafor will start. I don't expect Muhammad to start. I mean, Davenport will be, you know, listen, if they thought they had anything in Muhammad, they wouldn't have drafted Davenport.
I don't know. Yeah. Man, Muhammad was a training camp star last year, though. Forget about him.
I think it's well, Okafor, you know, it may take him some time. You know, he may be a PUP guy because it was kind of later in the season.
Oh yeah, that's right. So I mean that's but I think it's gonna be interesting with what happens because defensive end it's an interesting it's an interesting situation. We'll get into it as we the last couple weeks as we preview the defense. You know, but I can't, like Dave said, I can't believe we're 17. When people see reading this, listen to this podcast, it's gonna be 16 fucking days, and we're almost like we've almost made it, people. We were at the end, so that wraps it up for tonight. For Dave, for Andrew, until next week, the bar is closed.